Please come to order. Adequate notice of this meeting was provided in the following ways. Notice published in the Courier News, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building, notice posted on the bulletin board of the municipal building. Okay, ditto. Notice made available to the township clerk, notice sent to the Courier News and the Star Ledger. Ms. Buckley, will you please call the roll?
Mayor Waller?
Present.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Here.
Ms. Corcoran?
Here.
Reverend Kenny?
Here.
Mr. Atkins? You're muted, Alex. I see you. He's here. Mr. Ahmed?
Yes, here.
And Madam Chair?
Here. You can see the flag over my left shoulder. Could we all recite the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all. Mr. Barlow, would you please read the open public meeting?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In keeping with the guidelines that have been disseminated by the Department of Community Affairs, the Planning Board has tried its best to comply with the Open Public Meetings Act through this virtual platform. There will be a public comment period for all attendees. Each member of the public shall have only one opportunity to speak during each public portion. As technology does not allow us to know if there are multiple callers on an individual phone line or logged in a user account, we ask that if you wish to speak that you log in or dial in separately so we can recognize you as a separate individual. If you wish to speak, please raise your hand on the Zoom app, or if you have called in on the phone, press 9 to unmute. When it's your turn to speak, you'll be called upon either by name or phone number. Please speak at that time. You will be asked your name and address and will be sworn in prior to your question or comment. Thank you.
Can we swear the professionals in, please?
Mr. Foote, I'm going to just swear you in. You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Mr. Barlow,
Madam Chair, I forgot. Mr. Farrell, I might as well swear you in now.
Okay.
Mr. Farrell, you swear the testimony you'll give before this board will be the whole truth?
I do.
Okay. Thank you. Sorry about that, Madam Chair.
No pardon. Are there any changes to our agenda tonight, Mr. Barlow?
Yes, Madam Chair. Number 1024 PB02/12V, Dini Communications. That has been withdrawn. If anyone is on the Zoom call for that matter, it's been withdrawn. If they want to come back before the board, they will have to refile and start the process all over again. Also, number 1124 PB08 and 09V, LRN Properties, has been postponed to December 11th, 2024. They had an issue with their notice, and that matter will be heard on the December 11th, 2024 meeting once they correct their notice issues. Those are the only changes to the agenda, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Okay, that brings us to item number 7. Can I have a motion to pay the duly audited bills from the board?
I make a motion, Reverend Kenny, make a motion that we pay the duly audited bills.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that, Councilwoman Cahill.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 8, adoption of resolution to memorialize certain items taken on October the 9th, 2024.
Normally, Ms. Saunders would be here and she'd make a motion to adopt the resolution with a second. So in her absence, would someone else like to
move? Okay.
Maybe Reverend Kenny should do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going to do it, but somebody stepped on me.
Sorry.
Okay, I make a motion to
adopt
the resolution taken on October 9th, 2024.
Do I have a second, please?
Mr. Atkins, second.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Next item, please.
Reverend Kenny, we need the second one, T-Mobile. There's three resolutions.
Okay. I make a motion that we memorialize T-Mobile Northeastern LLC, 24PB-03.
Do I have a second, please?
Mr. Atkins, a second, yeah.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. There's a third item, Reverend Kenny.
Greek Orthodox community, I make a motion that we memorialize Greek Orthodox community of New Brunswick, New Jersey, 24PB16-V17V.
Second, please.
Mr. Atkins, second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Item number 9, adoption of minutes from October the 9th, 2024.
I make a motion that we adopt the minutes from the regular meeting of October 9th, 2024.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Atkins, a second.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Ms. Saunders? Oh, excuse me. Didn't write that down. Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. The next item is item number 12, discussion. Piscataway Township would like to subdivide block 11302, lot 2.03.
Thank you. Madam Chair, this is an application or a request by the township to subdivide block 11302, lot 2.03. also known as 551 Highland Avenue. Mr. Farrell is here. He's the engineer that was retained by Piscataway Township to do the site plan, and I'll turn the meeting over to him. Mr. Farrell, you are under oath.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Frank Farrell, as pointed out, and I am a principal here at Grotto Engineering. We were tasked with subdividing block 11302, lot 2.03, into smaller lots. I'm going to share my screen in an attempt to show you what we prepared. All right, I think I got it right. So what we should be looking at is a PDF of a three sheet plan. Right in the middle here, we have a key map. We have a zone map. Not terribly interesting unto themselves, but the property is fronts predominantly on Highland Avenue. Two small pieces of it, relatively speaking, also are through lots. I guess we would refer to them as through lots that extend out to Park Avenue. The lot, the existing lot 2.03, is just under 1.75 acres in total. The zone that it's in is the 7.5 R7.5 or residential zone. The minimum lot size in this zone is 7,500 square feet with a 75 by 75 lot width and depth, respectively. The subdivision that we prepared creates 8 lots fronting on Highland Avenue and another 2 lots that would front on Park Avenue. All of the lots, with the exception of proposed lot 2.13, which I will zoom in on over here, are conforming lots by lot area. There's no development proposed at this time, so we're not talking about setbacks, although we show the building footprints on this plan. There's no existing, or I'm sorry, there's no proposed development on this lot at this time. It's strictly a subdivision. And I'll point out, too, that, again, there's one lot that we're creating that is a slightly undersized at 40 feet rather than 75 feet in width. But if you look at the existing condition, there's really no way that this is that area, that this lot could ever have been a conforming lot. So we have the best case scenario here again is 8 lots that are all uniform 75 by 100 fronting on Highland, with the remaining 2 lots, 2.04 and 2.13 fronting on Park, with one variance for lot area and a second one for lot width related to lot 2.13. That about sums up the subdivision.
Again, Mr. Farrell, this will create essentially conformity out of non-conformity and get rid of that through lot, potential through lot condition, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Does anyone from the board have any questions of Mr. Farrell?
Madam Chair, I do have one question. So it creates the conforming lots on Highland Avenue, one obviously on Park, but then there's going to be one that is not a standard lot by current ordinance. Is that correct, Mr.
That's Park? Accurate. Yes. There's one, I guess we could call it an oversized lot. That would be this lot 2.04 that fronts right on Park, which is 120 feet wide and 100 feet deep, whereas 75 by 75 is the minimum. And this second lot that fronts on Park Avenue, lot 2.13, is going to be 40 feet in width, whereas 75 feet is required. But again, had this not been subdivided separate from the lot fronting on Highland, you'd have a through lot condition, which is also somewhat unusual. So this is, we believe this is the best layout and the best use of the lot and the property.
Brenda Smith, I have a question. Is there any potential for purchase of property on either side of that lot to make it a little bit more conforming to the...
That's not really a question I can answer as the engineer. I'm not sure who would be best poised to answer that question, but that's not really engineering.
If I may, Frank, I'll jump in. The town would have to approach the adjacent property owners to buy off some of their property, and or I don't know where their houses are situated on their properties too, you know, so it's a whole nother issue.
Okay.
So then, Madam Chair, since that's the case there, my concern would be if we subdivide that, make it a 40 foot width wide lot, and somebody were wanting to build on there, now they don't have variances. I mean, 40 wide seems pretty narrow.
They correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Barlow, they still would have a variance involved.
Yep, absolutely. If someone purchased that lot and wanted to build on it, they would either have to build within a footprint that did not violate the side yard, front yard, and rear yard setbacks, which is build a small home to fit a smaller lot, or if they exceeded the setbacks, and I presume, Mr. Farrell, your box is within, taking into account the relative setbacks, they would build the house in the box that's outlined, or if, say, they wanted to build a bigger house and exceeded the setbacks, they would come before potentially this board or to get approval for that variance relief. But you could build a conforming house, and I think that's what Mr. Farrell is showing.
Okay.
You could build even if you build the conforming house, quite frankly, they have to go to the zoning board because of the width and the frontage and the lot area. So they're going to go to the board regardless.
So even if the house were, the structure were to fit the side yard, front yard, backyard setbacks, they still have to go because the lot's non-conforming. So somebody would potentially buy that lot as non-conforming and do a roll of the dice?
Essentially, you're right.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, is that the end of your testimony?
I believe it's yes.
Okay, members of the board, we've asked questions of this witness, but is there Have you finished with your question, or should I open it to the public? Okay, hearing no questions from the board, members of the public, if you would like to ask questions of this witness regarding this particular matter before the board, would you please indicate so by waving your hand or whatever technological way of making yourself known that you want to ask a question?
Mr. Farrell, can you unshare your screen, please?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Stop sharing.
Makes my life easier.
Yeah.
No one in the public, Madam Chair.
Okay, closed to the public. Well, this was a matter of discussion. Is there anything for us to vote on, to make a motion for?
Yes, Madam Chair, it would require a motion to approve the proposed subdivision. And I did prepare a resolution in case the board did want to move the matter.
Would someone on the board like to make a motion?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran, I'd like to make the motion to approve the subdivision.
Do I have a second?
Madam Chair, Reverend Kenny, I'll second it.
Roll call, please.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
And again, Madam Chair, I prepared a resolution if someone would like to move that.
Would someone make a motion regarding the resolution, please, on the board?
I'll make a motion that the resolution be approved in regards to the matter of the subdivision that was just discussed for the township.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Ack.
I got some static there. Who was that who made that motion? Who was that second person?
I grabbed Alex.
Okay.
I'll get to one next time. Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Farrell.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Will do. You too. Item number 13, GWL4 Corp. LLC. Mr. Prasad.
Good evening, Board. Madam Chair, Mayor Waller, members of the board. My name is David Prasad, licensed attorney in the state of New Jersey, here tonight representing GWL4 Corporate LLC, who is seeking preliminary and final site plan with bulk variances. The property in question is block 5001, lot 2.02. It is located in the LI5 zone, and it's also known as 4 Corporate Place. Tonight, the applicant is seeking preliminary and final site plan approval for a property that is approximately 366,724 square feet with 730 feet of frontage on Corporate Place. The rear of the property abuts Route 287 and has adequate screening from the highway view. The site currently contains a one-story warehouse building with an attached smaller one-story office building and patio that is on the eastern side of the building. Ingress and egress to the site is accomplished via three separate points along Corporate Place, and as the property is surrounded by other industrial and commercial uses with no nearby residential. Currently, the site is being used as a warehouse for a tenant. The applicant is seeking to continue a warehouse use on the site, just removing a portion of the building that is an office space. I do want to point out that the applicant has a holdover tenant in the building right now. Their lease was expired in May, and they continue to stay in the building only because they are searching for, they have another facility in Georgia, and that facility is not ready. We have a bunch of informal correspondence from that tenant stating that they will vacate the property by January of 2025. We are trying to procure something in writing so we can present that to the board. We have not been able to obtain that today, but we do have informal correspondence that does guarantee that they will leave in January of 2025. As part of this application tonight, as I mentioned, the applicant is proposing to remove a small one-story office building from the warehouse, which will essentially reduce the building in size. With the removal of that office building, they want to construct 13 truck loading spaces with overhead doors, 11 tractor trailer parking spaces, and that's all on the eastern side of the building where that office building will be removed. Part of this application, the applicant is proposing 219 parking spaces, a small 2 feet deep bioretention basin, landscaping improvements, and EV charging spaces. I also want to say that the New Jersey statute does not require EV charging spaces to be installed, but the applicant is willing to install them and believes that they are great for the environment. And also our engineer here tonight will go into more detail on those site improvements. We are seeking we had applied for four variances as part of this application. One for a minimum rear yard setback where 50 feet is required and 49.62 feet is existing. That variance is not changing. We need a variance for off-street parking where 286 parking spaces are required. And 219 spaces are proposed with 8 EV charging spaces. We were originally seeking a variance for the installation of 2 4-inch conduits along the frontage on Corporate Place. The applicant would like to mention to the board that this variance is no longer needed as we will agree to install the conduits on the frontage. Additionally, and finally, the last variance is fencing around that small bioretention basin that I had mentioned earlier. The applicant will agree to install fencing around that bioretention basin. Tonight, I have four witnesses here. I have the applicant's representative, Bianca Marquez, from GWL4 Corporate. I also want to point out that we will probably use GWL4 Corporate and GTJ synonymously. It is the same company. GTJ is just the overarching company that owns the building. We have our engineer, Michael Marinelli, who's here from Menlo Engineering Associates. And we have our architect, Matthew Walco, from Parrott Somgen Architects LLC. For the record, we do have three staff reports that we received from the township. The first is the DNR engineering report dated October 18th, 2024. We have the township staff memorandum dated October 18th, 2024. And we have a planning report from CME Associates dated October 21st, 2024. If the board has no questions of me, I'd like to have our first witness sworn in and we can begin the testimony.
Sir, you may proceed with witness.
I'd like to call Bianca Marquez as our first witness from the applicant company.
Good evening.
Ms. Marquez, you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address.
Sure. My name is Bianca Marquez, last name Marquez, and my professional address is 1399 Franklin Avenue, Suite 100 in Garden City, New York, 11530.
Okay. If you raise your right hand, you swear the testimony you give before this board will be the whole truth?
Yes.
You're witness.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Ms. Marquez, can you please give the board the benefit of your qualifications and your role with GWL/GTJ?
Sure. Good evening. My name is Bianca Marquez. I'm a property manager for GTJ REIT. I've been working with the company for a little over 6 years now. GTJ is a fully integrated, self-administered, and managed public non-listed REIT. We engage in the acquisition, ownership, and management of commercial real estate. We have 50 industrial buildings located in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, and North Carolina, with the majority of the buildings concentrated in the tri-state area.
Thank you, Ms. Marquez. If you don't mind, can you please explain GTJ or GWL's experience in Piscataway?
Sure. We purchased 4 Corporate Place along with 5 other buildings from settler companies back in 2015. We own over 700,000 square feet of commercial space in Piscataway. We also engaged in a joint venture with settler at 2 Corporate Place South. As mentioned before, we own other industrial properties in New Jersey, but one of the main things that attracted to us to Piscataway was the large commercial presence that it has, as well as its proximity to I-287.
Thank you. Can you give the board the reasons why GTJ or GWL is seeking this approval tonight?
Sure. As you mentioned before, we do have a current tenant, Ideanova. It's holdover tenant. Their lease expired at the end of May, and we've had informal correspondence with them for months now on their plans to vacate the property. From my understanding, the tenant has a building in Georgia that they are relocating to, but the facility is not ready for them, which is why they continue to occupy our building. We are aware of the current condition that the tenant creates and has had many conversations with them on keeping the site clean and organized. Tonight, we're seeking approval on the proposed modifications to the building as we feel that the changes presented will make the property more attractive and marketable to prospective tenants. Part of our plans, which our engineer Mike will also touch on, includes removing the office space, adding loading docks, and adding EV chargers.
I want to make it clear for the board that none of the conditions on the site, and we do mention, and they are mentioned in the township staff report, the dumpsters, the pallets, the tarps, things that are almost haphazard on the site. These are not caused by your company, correct? These are items of the tenant.
Correct.
And you have had multiple conversations with them. They're just not very responsive on cleaning up the site.
Right. Correct.
And the last conversation that you did have with them, they did agree that they were leaving at the end of January of 2025. Is that correct?
Correct. They did send us an email stating that, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And currently, you have a tenant, but for future operations, you are doing these changes because you do not have a tenant in mind at the moment. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. With the proposed modifications, it's intended to add the marketability of the site.
And the site is to remain a warehouse?
Correct, yes.
Thank you. I have no further questions of this witness, if the board has any questions.
Board members, do you have any questions of this witness?
Madam Chair, Dawn Corcoran. So since our workshop meeting, when all of these issues were brought to your attention by the staff report, has your current tenant made any effort whatsoever to clean up the site? I mean, the debris, pallets, dumpsters.
Yeah. It seems that when we do go by the site, they do clean it up, but then it just kind of goes right back to what it is with their use and their business. So yes, they have, but not how they should be.
And then you had mentioned there was a date in January. Is that a firm date? I mean, is that something? So I know your attorney said early on that informal correspondence between you and your tenant. When do you expect to have something firm in writing?
Well, we did reach out to the tenant. They said that they were going to be sending us something in writing today. Obviously that has happened. So we're hoping maybe within the week. we understand the headaches. We understand, the mess, let's just quite say, put it that way, that they make. Out of all our buildings that we do own in Piscataway, this is one of the issues that we have with them is just the uncleanliness and the haphazard, the way that they keep the space. And in the past, we have reached out to the town to issue violations, just so it kind of pushes them to do what they got to do. And we are welcoming that. So, no, I'm serious. It'll give them more of a push, to be honest with you.
And quite honestly, I'm only asking those questions because until the site is either cleaned up or you can show something in writing with a firm date, I'm really honestly reluctant to vote on this. It's just one of those things. As you said, your tenant just, apparently they'll just clean it up. And I don't know, maybe a week later, it looks like a mess. I went out there with our engineer. We could barely circulate around.
Get around. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a big issue. Okay.
Ms. Corrigan, and the applicant is willing to hold off on a vote tonight if we can put on the application, and we do want to present something in writing to the board if that makes you more comfortable with a vote.
It does, quite honestly, and I would rather, take another ride out there prior to our next meeting in December. Who knows? Maybe they did clean it up, or as you said, maybe we will have something in writing, but it really is just a mess, as you said.
Practically speaking, Mr. Prasad, in terms of getting the impetus to get them out, perhaps a complaint in landlord-tenant to vacate the premises. They're a commercial tenant. Their lease was up in May. Your client certainly has the right to their property back from a holdover tenant, and maybe a complaint to vacate the premises would be kind of another kick in the, you know what, to get them, you know, to allow your client to move forward. Just something to think about.
No, we understand, and we were waiting for that official writing today, but we did have that discussion about filing a formal complaint.
Okay.
So hopefully we get you guys something soon, and it will be a concrete date in January.
Yes.
Yeah. But I think that might be a good compromise in terms of at least getting all the testimony on the record today.
We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the board, this witness?
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, I don't know if it's so much a question of this witness rather than are we going out there and trying to summons this company for property maintenance or not?
We certainly can, to answer your question. I mean, they had an application filed with our office. It was brought to our attention when we were preparing the staff report in terms of what type of condition this was in. I mean, if it doesn't get cleaned up, yeah, we certainly will do that at this point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So I guess there has to be a little bit of time, right? So if the landlord's been trying to get it cleaned up, this application comes in, this is when the township becomes more fully aware of the condition of the property. But I, you know, listen, maybe there is a question here is, let's say this tenant leaves and they leave all that crap behind. I'm gonna guess, Mr. Prasad, that your client then is footing the bill for the cleanup of the property. Is that about right?
Absolutely.
Correct.
I agree, but they have expressed the sentiment to go onto the site and clean it up for the tenant. However, they're not allowed to touch their property as it is not the owner's. But they have tried. They have tried everything. And as Mr. Barlow recommended, if we can't get anything in writing from the tenants, we will probably take more serious action to remove them from the site.
And I would just suggest to Dawn that if the time period has lapsed, nothing's happened, that the township also make, you know, I don't know that they were going to pay a fine, but, or if they get a warning first, but maybe that the township also has that on some sort of record that they're not keeping the property up. Because, you know, if you can't move around, if there's, you know, God forbid any kind of issue over there, mm-hmm. emergency services won't be able to get around, correct?
Agreed.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, when I went out there, I went to our code enforcement supervisor and he was, you know, it was just as Bianca had said, he had been out there in the past for other violations. He's well aware of the, he knows the property. So we were just trying to give them a little bit of time to clean this up, but unfortunately that just hasn't been accomplished. So.
Yeah, and we have, as Bianca did mention, we have requested the town to go out there and issue violations to the tenant just to force them a little bit to do what they say they're going to do a little quicker. We understand the situation, and it's definitely not something we want to bring to the township of Piscataway.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll have to open this up to the public. Members of the public, you've heard the testimony of this witness, Ms. Marquez. Does anyone in the public have any questions of this witness at this time? Please indicate by raising your hand.
No, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Close to the public.
Madam Chair, this is Nathan Foote from CME Associates. I just have one question if I can jump in.
Yes, go ahead, Mr. Foote.
So one of the questions that we had brought up in our review letter was regarding the nature of the use. It's my understanding from the testimony that was just provided that uh, they that Ms. Marquez, you don't have a tenant yet, but that it is proposed to be continue to be a warehouse use. There is a difference between warehouse use and warehouse fulfillment center. So is there, and that was the calculation that was used in, I believe, in the engineer's site plans. So I guess the question is there possibility that any future tenant would be a fulfillment center, or is this strictly going to be a warehouse type use? The tenants that you would be looking at would be warehouses, or could they include fulfillment centers?
Right now we're looking at warehouse. Like I said, we don't have a tenant in place. This is all just for future use, trying to make the site more marketable once Ideanova is out of the space.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll be able to provide a little bit more as part of my testimony, Mr. Foote.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Would we have to open this up to the public after this question? Do you think, Mr. Barlow? Mr. Barlow?
I was talking to myself because I had it on mute. Sorry. I don't think that's necessary. And if you want to let Mr. Prasad put all his witnesses on and then just open it to the public once, you
okay.
could also do that.
That's fine. Okay. Thank you. I think that's more appropriate for this mm-hmm. application.
Yep.
Okay. Your next witness?
My next witness is Mr. Michael Marinelli from Menlo Engineering Associates.
Okay. Come forward so he can be sworn in.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Mr. Marinelli. So if you could state your name, spell your last name, and give us your professional address for the record, please.
Sure. It's Michael Marinelli, Marinelli, of Menlo Engineering, located 261 Cleveland Avenue, Highland Park, New Jersey.
You raise your right hand. You swear the testimony you give before this board to be the whole truth?
I do.
Your witness, Mr. Prasad.
Mr. Marinelli, can you please give the board the benefit of your qualifications?
Surely. I'm a graduate of Rutgers University, class of 1999. I've been practicing land use and site planning since that time. I'm a licensed professional in the state of New Jersey. I've been so for 17 some odd years. I've provided professional testimony in front of this board on many occasions.
And your license is in good standing?
It is.
Thank you. If you don't mind, can you please give a brief description of the subject property layout? And the existing condition.
He's accepted as a
I apologize.
Professional.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mm-hmm.
Surely, I will share my screen. And
Mr. Marinelli, if you could just, any exhibits you put up, we'll refer to them as A1 and A2 and just keep going, okay?
Surely. So if you could see the screen now, I've put on there an existing conditions exhibit. We'll mark it as exhibit A1. It's entitled For Corporate Place, dated 11/13/2024. As you can see, this is an aerial representation of the subject site. The lot is designated as block 5001, lot 2.02 on the tax maps of Piscataway Township. Property commonly known as Four Corporate Place is located on the north side of Corporate Place, kind of sandwiched between 287, which runs along the top of Exhibit A1, and Corporate Place, which runs left to right on the south or bottom side. The property has three access points, one on the most southeast corner, one on the most southwest corner, and then one central to the building closest to the southeast corner of the existing warehouse portion of the structure. The overall property is 8.42 acres and is located entirely within the LI5 zone. As I stated, Highway Route 287 runs north of the project, and all the other surrounding properties east, south and west are a continuation of the LI zone with other industrial slash commercial uses in the existing condition. As you can see, the site is fully developed. It has a 151,712 square foot structure that includes a large rectangle off to the western side of the site, which is the warehouse portion that we were speaking of, and the white area to the east of that, a very irregular shape, is a 16,200 square foot existing office. There is parking for the site located all over on all sides of the building. Existing loading is four recessed door locations at the center driveway access. And I had been in front of this board maybe 10 years ago when we added eight loading doors on the southwest, on the southern facade, but on the western side of it for some additional loading for this existing structure. You can kind of see some of what was previously discussed about the shape of or how the site is handled. There's debris along the 287 side. There's haphazard trailers within some parking areas and blocking some drive aisles. And this is one of the better indicators of how the site has been misused by the current tenant that is soon to leave. If I can then refer to a second exhibit, we'll mark this as exhibit A2. This exhibit is an aerial representation of the site plan colorized. If I can refer back to A1 quickly, this office space that I spoke of, the 16,200 square foot office space and patio that was discussed is in this treed alcove of that office space, is what the applicant is proposing to remove. Referring now to exhibit A2, you'll see in that portion of the site, we're making some modifications. We're, of course, removing that existing 16,000 square foot office and replacing it with some additional loading areas for this existing warehouse that is to remain. In all, there will be 13 new dock positions, which will be detailed by the architect in a little while, and I'll zoom in real quick, with a full circulated loading area, and then 12 trailer storage spaces. This will allow future tenants, well, once this tenant is gone, to have access to the 12 dock positions that they have currently on the building and 13 additional with 11 storage. So it would really make this building more appropriate for more users who need to utilize either more dock positions and have the need for trailer storage spaces without impacting the existing parking spaces that are located around the building. Circulation in the proposed condition is relatively unchanged. You'll still have full circulation around the building for emergency vehicles and emergency services. It'll still have three access points off of Corporate Place so that there's good access to each of the loading areas that would be present on the site. The proposed improvements in this area not only remove the 16,200 square foot office portion of the building, but also impact some of the existing car parking. We're looking that car parking would be reduced on site to 219 physical spaces, where 262 are there in their existing condition. You'll note that on the easternmost side of the site, we are implementing eight new EV spaces. Although this site doesn't require it by law, because we're not implementing any more than 25 new parking spaces, the applicant thinks that it's good to put them in it on day one. Of course, all would be installed prior to any CO being issued for the proposed building modifications.
Mr. Marinelli, real quick. Yes. When you zoomed in, I thought you said it was going to create 12 new trailer storage spaces, but I think that says 11.
If I said 12, I'm sorry. I apologize.
Okay.
I misspoke.
No problem.
It is 11. It's 13 okay. Truck spaces and 11 storage spaces.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
My apologies. So although we're not required because we're not implementing more than 25 new parking spaces, we are providing those EV charging locations. However, as noted by your professionals, we can't gain that 2-to-1 credit that would normally be associated with the EV spaces and the credit that goes along with that statute. And I'll get into that in more detail as I go through our parking variance in a little bit. Other improvements you'll see are, you know, general landscape, additional lighting for a safe area there. And as Mr. Prasad had noted, we'd also agree as a condition of the approval to provide the newly required 2 4-inch conduits along the entire frontage, as well as a junction box and leader to the existing building. As you can see, as part of this, of course, the site would be cleaned up. Again, a lot of the stuff that is happening on the sites, the pallets, the tarp areas, the extra garbage containers, all of those are part of the process of the existing tenant that is going to be removed. So, of course, the applicant, as a condition of approval, would agree to have all of that cleaned up and brought back into the previous approved state. As I mentioned, there is some improvements to lighting and landscape. We're proposing 8 new shade trees, 7 new evergreen trees, 20 shrubs, and, you know, 72 ground plantings. A majority of that is in the basin area between the proposed loading area and the Corporate Place frontage. You'll see there's also some evergreen trees proposed along the 287 frontage to kind of shield from that view a little bit better. And then along the eastern facade, some shade trees to supplement the existing mature buffer with the adjoining that abuts the adjoining property's access road. We're also proposing lighting. There are 2 building mounted lights at 25 feet high and 4 pole mounted lights that cast a 0.03 minimum and a 1.76 foot candle average throughout the loading area that meets the ordinance standards. These lights are all LED, you know, energy efficient, downcasting lights, dark sky compliant type fixtures. From a stormwater management perspective, we're not considered a major development because we don't disturb more than an acre of area, and we're not proposing more than a quarter acre of new impervious. However, the applicant did recognize that the what we were removing was the impervious that we were removing was roof area, which is in engineering terms considered clean runoff, and replacing it with some pavement and concrete for this loading area. So we took this opportunity to implement a green infrastructure BMP in the form of a relatively shallow, again, it's only, I think it's 3 feet at its max point, but 2 feet, a majority of it, by means of a bioretention swale or basin along that side. It was mentioned in both professionals' letters and I believe the township planning letter that a variance relief would be sought or needed to be sought for a fence around that basin. We're not going to seek that relief this evening. We'll provide, as a condition of the approval, a fence around that basin. Additionally, it was recommended but not required by your engineer to provide some sort of guide rail structure along the top of the retaining wall separating the loading docks and the basin. And we would, of course, agree to do that as a condition of the approval as well, just to make sure that nobody is coming off this, again, relatively short 3 foot high retaining wall and into the proposed basin. As noted, we have an existing nonconformance on site. You'll note on the northeast corner of the existing structure, the building is at 49.6 feet, where 50 feet is required on the rear yard. In this instance, Route 287 is considered a rear yard for the purposes of zoning. And then as far as new variances go, the only one that we are proposing is for parking. This is a variance condition that exists on the site today. There is a parking variance that was granted as part of the previous approval that we obtained for this site for Southern Companies 10 years ago. We are proposing 219 physical spaces, where 287 spaces are required in the worst case scenario. And this lends to the question Mr. Foote had asked a little bit earlier. Because the applicant doesn't know who the tenant tenant is going to be here. They want to leave their options open. So in the worst case scenario, if it were to be a distribution center in lieu of a standard warehouse, the requirement would be 287 spaces. If it were a standard warehouse, the requirement would only be 91 spaces, where we're providing 219. So we're basically providing double of a regular warehouse, but we're deficient 67 spaces from a distribution center. The existing deficiency is 108 spaces for a distribution center at this site. And again, we're now only a 67 space deficiency. So I think that variance could easily be granted because it's better than the existing condition, and it calculates in for what is the worst case scenario. We also have reduced the requirement of parking on site by reducing the area of the building, right? We're taking 16,000 square feet of office off, and you'll hear a little bit from the architect about the mezzanine spaces within the existing warehouses that we're also removing bring down the total requirement for parking on the site. Mr. Prasad had mentioned the three review letters. We have gone through all of them in detail and agree to comply with all of the comments and or recommendations within them. The one other minor note that I would make, and I'll refer quickly to Exhibit A1, on the northwest corner on the adjacent property for Two Corporate Place, that treed area has a wetland associated with it. And there are potential buffers from that wetland that would encroach onto the subject site. But as I've presented in testimony, we're 500 feet away from that existing wetland complex and have no impact on the wetland, and no permit would be required for any disturbance of that existing wetland. But I thought it was appropriate, since it was mentioned in both the professionals' letters, to at least address the wetland comment. That is my direct testimony. Should anybody have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Could you remove your exhibit from the screen? Thank you. Members of the board, do you have any questions of this witness regarding his testimony?
Madam Chair, Councilwoman Cahill, just one quick question. What exactly does trailer storage look like? Are those just parking spots? Essentially,
yes. So it's where you would leave the trailer portion, not the cabs, but the trailer portion. In some instances, in most instances, they're left there empty or in staging where there isn't a door currently available and stuff needs to be offloaded. It's a temporary storage space so that they're not blocking drive aisles or out on Corporate Place. They have a place to reside while they're either empty waiting to be loaded or full waiting to be emptied.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
One question comes to mind. There is no hazmat material to be stored here at all. Is that correct?
None is proposed. That's correct.
Thank you.
All right.
Madam Chair, okay. Nathan Foote, again. The CME review letter had brought up several NJ EMS sites associated with this particular property. We identified only one as being open. I'm not going to read out the whole number, but it was HW non-regulated, item number 11 on page 15 of our report. Mr. Marinelli, do you have any testimony regarding that particular item from our letter?
I do not. I note that you listed the NJEMS numbers for hazardous waste. I don't know what that open permit is for. I can only assume that it's associated with the existing tenant that will be removed once they leave. They would have to close that permit.
Okay. Then see. So several of our, so item number 8 on page 14 of our review letter just deals with a number of different items that we requested further information on in regards to the site plan review. Can that information be provided?
Of course, we can update as a condition of approval the zoning table in order to clarify these existing conditions. I would only note that all of these are existing conditions on site that are not being exacerbated or changed in any manner. But we can, of course, provide them in an updated zoning table that would clarify those requirements of the zoning ordinance.
Okay, that's all I had. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? We're going to save the questions to the public for all of the witnesses. So, sir, do you have any other witnesses?
Yes, Madam Chair. I have one final witness. It's our architect, Matthew Walco from Paris Somgen Architects.
Okay. You may call him. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Walchuk, I'm sorry, I'm butchering it, Walchko. If you could state your name, spell your last name for the record, and give us your professional address, please.
Matthew Walchko, Perrette Somgen Architects. We're located at W-O-L-C-H-K-O. Our address is 439 Route 46 East in Rockaway, New Jersey, 07866.
Raise your right hand, sir. You swear the testimony given before this board to be the whole truth?
Yes, I do.
Your witness, Mr. Prasad.
Thank you, Mr. Barlow. Mr. Walchko, can you please give the board the benefit of your qualifications as an architect?
I am a registered architect and a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey. Received a Bachelor of Science in Architecture from Pennsylvania State University, a Master's of Architecture from Arizona State University, and I have a Certificate in Historic Preservation Studies from New York University. I'm also a LEED Green Associate.
And have you testified before boards in the state of New Jersey before?
Yes, I'm a former chairman of the Garfield Planning Board and also a former member of the Garfield Zoning Board of Adjustment.
And your architectural license is in good standing?
Yes, both my architect's and planner's license are current.
And ask if the board can accept this expert?
Yes, Mr. Volko is accepted.
Mr. Prasad, you, are you offering him just as an architect or as an, I think he said he's also a licensed planner.
A planner, yeah.
He is also a licensed planner, but we are just offering architectural testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Walchko, can you please describe the interior changes that the applicant is proposing to the site?
Right now, in addition to the approximately 16,000 square foot appendage to the building, there are multiple mezzanine areas internal to the warehouse building, and it's the intention to have these removed to make the floor area of the warehouse building essentially a flat plate and make it as wide open as and as flexible as possible. This includes other areas that will become the easterly side of the existing warehouse where that office building is removed. That will be modified to incorporate the loading bays. So these will be the standard 10-foot wide loading bays with low dock levelers, and there will also be some provisions because we do not have a current tenant. We do not know what type of interior improvements exactly would be required for any ancillary or additional office space. But we have been the brokerage consultant for the owner has recommended that with the nature of this building that there would be anywhere from between 2,500 to 5,000 square feet of ancillary office space required. And I believe it's that 5,000 square foot limit that was included in the zoning table so that the vast majority of the building is intended to be used for open warehousing space and with the potential for a small amount of accessory ancillary office space. At some point, when a tenant, if and when, say, whatever the proposed tenant would require, but this would be very minor to the usage of any new tenant.
And we've seen it on the engineering plans, but just a little more information if you can. The exterior of the building is not being changed anywhere else other than that eastern side. Is that correct?
No, the existing frontage along Corporate Place is going to remain as it is, and all the modifications would be on the easterly side of the building that is going to be facing the modified, the new truck loading zones and trailer parking areas. But these will, it's going to be, it's a utilitarian building right now that is very basic with some masonry, and the majority of that side is going to be the overhead doors for the truck loading base.
Thank you, Mr. Walchko. There were not many, or if any at all, architectural comments for this application, seeing that a warehouse is typically just a big box. So that is all the questions I have for Mr. Walchko, if the board has any questions.
Members of the board, do you have any questions of Mr. Walchko individually? Hearing no questions from the board, I'm going to open it up to the public now for both this witness as well as Mr. Marinelli. Members of the public, if you have any question for either of these two witnesses, would you indicate by waving your hand?
No, I'm Madam Chair.
You don't hear anyone? You don't see anyone?
I don't see, and I unmuted them. I gave them permission to speak, so.
There's a question though in the, not that this is really pertinent, there's a question in the chat, just who is the current tenant in the building to be demolished? I assume that's the tenant you were discussing earlier that you're trying to get out of the building.
That is correct. Yeah. The existing office building attached to the warehouse is essentially just one building that's used by that one tenant.
Gotcha.
And they are trying to get them out as soon as possible.
Okay, thank you.
If I can just prepare, oh, I'm sorry.
It's still public portion. Then it's closed to the public that particular question. Closed to the public. And now, board members, any other questions of this app for the whole application? Mr. Passode, would you like to make a statement, or are you ready to have us make a motion one way or the other?
I'd just like to summarize very quickly about the applicant.
You might do so. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As mentioned, the applicant does own 5 buildings in Piscataway, over 700,000 square feet combined. It is a very successful commercial tenant and a very good corporate neighbor to Piscataway. Unfortunately, this is the only building in town that they have a difficult tenant that they are trying to actively get out. As mentioned, we will try to obtain something in writing from the current tenants that they will be vacating, as they said in their correspondence, in January of 2025. We also think that the parking plan that was created by removing that office for the trailer storage and the loading spaces makes it more appealable site to the township and to anyone driving down Corporate Place, as it moves all of the trailer storage to the rear of the building away from the frontage. The applicant is happy to add the EV charging spaces and making them operational as a condition of a CO if the board looks favorably on this application. And we just like to thank you for your time tonight. We appreciate giving us a chance to put on our testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Members of the board, you've heard this full application. What is your pleasure?
Madam Chair, I'm under the impression, Mr. Mayor, that we're going to hold off on a formal vote tonight.
Yeah, I think it would be appropriate based on what the applicant had indicated and the concerns of the board and the board's professionals as to the tenant and the current condition of the site for a motion to just carry the application to the December meeting, yeah. At which time, understanding the record's closed other than assuming Mr. Persuade will either appear or hopefully provide ahead of time confirmation as to when the tenant is leaving, or preferably that the tenant has left. if that's the board's pleasure.
Okay. Board members, what is your pleasure?
I agree.
Are we going to withhold it of the vote, or are we going to make the vote and hold it? It's final vote. How are we going to do that?
I think based on what I indicated, I heard from the board members, is it would be a motion to carry the vote and the hearing to the December meeting in order to allow the applicant time to provide the information that was requested as to the tenant.
That is correct. Reverend Kenny, I concur with that because I was at this site also, and it's been carried on quite a few times. We had a discussion about it before, and it hasn't been cleaned up as of yet. And I see a little problem with this, and it should have been addressed a little earlier, providing that we were going to get this application approved. I have no problem with the application being approved, but I would carry it on to December's meeting and see where the applicant, who is it at this place now, whether he moves, and the situation is cleaned up in that area.
Do I hear a second?
Go in, Corcoran, I'll second.
Roll call.
Mayor Waller?
Yes.
Councilwoman Cahill?
Yes.
Ms. Corcoran?
Yes.
Reverend Kenny?
Yes.
Mr. Atkins?
Yes.
Mr. Ahmed?
Yes.
And Madam Chair?
Yes.
All right, so it's carried to December 11th, 2024.
Exactly.
No further notice will be required. If anyone's here for this, you won't get a new notice in the mail, but it'll be carried to the December 11th meeting.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mayor Waller, members of the board. Hope you have a great night.
You too.
Thank you, and everyone have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Can I motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn. Anyone? Do I have a second?
No move.
No move.
Second.
All right. Again, okay. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Have a great Thanksgiving, everyone.
Take care.
Everybody. Take care.
Thanksgiving, everyone.
Good night.
Night.